This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load, and as we do on Friday, we finish out the week by talking to a gentleman who, when he's writing, more people read his stuff than any other person in the niche of gun talk writing, and that is Dean Weingarten. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Bill. Do you have any preferences?
I thought I would leave this up to you, because you haven't really ever steered us wrong before.
Well, something that I think has been underreported is the success that President Bolsonaro has had in Brazil reforming their gun control laws. Of course, it being Brazil, it's not very well reported in the United States. But President Bolsonaro is kind of like the Brazilian Trump in that he ran against the establishment. He ran specifically on a strong platform of loosening the extreme restrictions they have on gun ownership and use in Brazil, including allowing Brazilians to use firearms for self-defense, which they were virtually forbidden from doing under the laws that existed before he got elected. And the left, including our own media, just poo-pooed the whole idea and said, my gosh, the murder rate is going to skyrocket in Brazil. People are going to die. There's going to be blood in the streets. You know the drill. It's the same thing with any attempt to reduce the burden on law-abiding citizens of owning firearms. And I've got a quote. This was in the Wall Street Journal in December of 2018. So about a year and a half ago. This was after President Bolsonaro was elected. He was elected in October of 2018. So now Brazil is set to embark on an experiment that will determine what happens when you loosen gun restrictions in a country battling an overpowering wave of gun crime. And in 2017, so that's a little before, Brazil was at historic highs for their homicide rate. They dropped a little bit in 2018. Bolsonaro was running hard on a campaign, we're going to loosen up the law, we're going to have law on gun ownership so that people can defend themselves. We're going to let police officers be hard on crime. So when you make those kind of headlines, it kind of has a dampening effect in itself. And then he was elected in October of 2018. And when he took office on 1 January of 2019, just a few days later, about 2 weeks, on 15 January, he issued his first decree reforming some of Brazil's, and they're really extreme gun laws. You weren't allowed to buy more than 50 rounds of ammunition in a year, for example.
Wow.
Your gun had to be locked up and in the house, and you had to spend probably $1,500 to $2,000 to meet all the requirements, the bureaucratic requirements, in order to legally get a permit to buy a gun in Brazil. So he reformed a good bit of that by decree. Brazil has the ability to do that. They have a very strong executive in their law. And you know what happened? The murder rate dropped precipitously. It went down from like 59,000 in 2017 to 51,000. This is the total murders in 2018. It was down to 41,000 in 2019. So the first year that he had a full year of his presidency, it dropped like 19%. 19%. It dropped to the lowest level on a per capita rate, which is the only rational way to measure homicide. Otherwise, you can say some country with 100 people has one homicide. They only had one. Whereas, a country with 100 million had 100,000. And you go, well, but they had 100,000. They're much worse. No, the other country had. So you measure it in number of homicides per 100,000 people.
Right.
And in their homicide rate, it went down to the lowest level it had been since they passed their first really strict gun control law in 1997. They had not had a homicide rate this low since 1995. And there are some articles in our media and in the Brazilian press about this remarkable drop in the homicide rate. And you know what they're saying? And it's an echo of what we have seen here in the United States with President Trump. Well, it wasn't that the President Bolsonaro had anything to do with that. That was happening long before. It was the previous administration's actions that did this. It had nothing to do with gun control at all. So they just, no matter what happens, of course, the conservatives who promote the exercise of the right to self-defense are always wrong. Whether they're not wrong or not, it's amazing. And you look back at the quotes and what was said, and you said, but you said this. You said the homicide rate was going to go up. Well, it didn't. Well, we didn't foresee what was going to happen. Obviously, however, it was not President Bolsonaro's actions that did it. Oh, it couldn't be. Couldn't possibly be, because that would show we were wrong. At least that's the way I interpret it.
Right.
So he has had tremendous success there. I've been trying to get the numbers for the first quarter in Brazil to see if the drop has continued, but they haven't come out yet. So I thought that was worth noting. Now this is something I have contacts in New Zealand, but I'm having a hard time getting an answer from them. I don't know what's going on exactly. I'm thinking of trying some alternate routes. But in New Zealand, after the mass murder conducted at Christchurch in those two mosques there, in which the killer bragged that he was going to get new gun control passed in New Zealand, by the way, and then they did, they were going to follow that up. They banned, basically, semi-automatic rifles. And that went through, and some people turned them in. It seemed like there was quite a bit of non-compliance, but that hasn't been heavily noted. But then something interesting happened. The Progressive Party there... And that's not their name, but they basically are a far-left party, pushed to get more draconian gun control there. New Zealand did away with their registration of firearms, not everything. They kept pistols registered, but most guns, they did away with the registration system in 1983. And they did away with the registration system because it was expensive, and it was useless. It really did not accomplish anything positive in reducing crime or crime rates.
Let me get you to hold right there. Let me get you to hang on right there. We're coming up on the first break. Dean, most of Dean's work now shows up at Ammo Land, where it does go out there and aggregate in other places. But you can find his work at ammoland.com, that plus another $1,499 minimum you would find there. So we'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage. Bill Frady here. In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone at any time. When it's your time, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For my personal protection, I recommend training at Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility, located near Las Vegas, Nevada. And due to our relationship with Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, I've arranged for you and your family to train there too, free of charge. Yes, it's true. Enter frontsight.com/radio into your computer browser to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course absolutely free of charge with no hidden surprises or catches. Enter frontsight.com/radio. After your first course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population. Guaranteed. Nobody does it better than Front Sight, but you must act before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. See you at Front Sight.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Lock and Load. And I've got the busy throat for some crazy reason. I'm talking to Dean Weingarten, writer, activist, instructor, scientist, military officer. I could go on, and I would never run out of qualifications.
So, well, sir. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I was talking about what has been going on in New Zealand. So about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, they had this massive shooting in the Christchurch at the mosque, mass murder, and they have a far-left government in. The government really only had a plurality, about 40, 45% of the votes for the far-left government. But New Zealand has the parliamentary system, and they have a very complicated voting system that you can split your votes among different places. And it ended up that one supposedly conservative party allied with the far-left party, and that put them in power. And that's where they were in the position to pass this ban on most semi-automatic rifles. So, what they then tried to do was to parlay that ban into further draconian gun control. And New Zealand has a system where they don't have registration for most guns. What they have is licensing for gun owners. And it's essentially a lifetime license. You get a license, and then you're good. You can buy guns, and you can sell guns. You don't have to register them, except for pistols, and now semi-automatic rifles. And it's not too difficult. In New Zealand, for example, they have no controls whatsoever on suppressors or silencers. A 12-year-old girl can take $20 in New Zealand money, walk into a hardware store, purchase the suppressor over the counter, and walk out with nothing but a receipt for the cash. And they don't have any big problems with suppressors or silencers either. So it's a kind of an in-between, very strict gun control and relatively little gun control. So they've been pushing very hard to change all that after they passed the initial law. What they wanted was individual registration for every gun that had to be renewed every 5 years. No more lifetime licenses for guns. Every gun shop would undergo strict licensing that would have to be renewed every so often. Every range would have to undergo strict licensing that would have to be renewed every so often. You'd have to show a reason for ownership for every gun that you had, and you could only buy ammunition for the guns that you were registered to you. In addition to that, if you weren't actually hunting with the guns would have to be locked up, and you could only shoot them on ranges which were licensed by the state. You can see where this is going. This is a lot of very strict gun laws that make it very difficult for the traditional New Zealand society to do what they usually did, which is they have superb hunting there in New Zealand and relatively not too oppressive gun laws. And almost every farm had their own range, and they had to shoot hundreds of animals just to keep them from eating all their crops. Well, the conservative, the latest that I get, and like I said, my sources there seem to have, they seem to be difficult to reach at the moment. What I've been hearing is that conservative party that allied with the far left party has decided there's more votes to be had by protecting gun owners than there are to be the underdog in a coalition with the far left. And that new bill has stalled, and it looks like it'll be defeated. Now, they planned to pass it about 2 weeks ago, and that would have been near. It was would have been the anniversary of the shooting, and I'm sorry I don't have that date on right now. But that was the date they planned to pass it, you know, figuring they could get a big bump in the press by saying, on this date, we passed further gun control, you know, about all their plans, about how wonderful they are.
Right.
And it didn't happen. It didn't happen, and it hasn't happened. And it's one of these cases where you can imply what's going on by what you don't hear. And you know, notice how when Prime Minister Trudeau, by a stroke of the pen, claims to have banned 1,500 models of firearms in Canada, it's blared out all over the world as a wonderful thing. But in New Zealand, when a coalition of hard-pressed farmers and hunters and shooters push really hard and stop a draconian gun control bill, crickets. So because we're not hearing anything internationally, I think that bill in New Zealand is dead. And that's a good thing. But you haven't heard anything, and you haven't heard anything about it here first. I'm just making a play on words there, on my impromptu, you know, counterintelligence view of what's going on, because we haven't heard anything about it. And if you look at past history, when gun control passes anywhere in the world, it is blared out in the media as a major victory for the forces of progress.
Oh, yeah. When we come back, I want to ask you a question about something, because apparently I haven't been paying attention to two things. Have you ever heard of the Boogaloo movement?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay. And have you heard about the renewed interest by the Democrats in the Senate to ban and control and regulate ghost guns?
Oh, yeah. We can talk about that. I've got lots of information about that. Well, not so much about the Boogaloo. I've just heard about that a bit.
Well, you know, I mean...
It's really kind of an internet meme.
Well, I mean, the media seems to have picked it up, and I just find that interesting.
And what? We'll talk about it when we come back.
Okay. Well, for those of the, you know, if you like what we're talking about, if Dean hasn't written about it, he probably will. But he writes about everything within the niche that is the gun culture, the gun world, whether it's politics or hunting or self-defense or the NICS background checks or what happens when you have a no-knock raid or something like that. All these things he's already written about them. He's written a fascinating series about bear attacks, which is not something you hear that much about, but it happens. So you can find all of this by going to AmmoLand.com. Look at all contributors. He'll be right there, Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. And this is Lock and Load. Like a piece of Americana, this is Nighthawk Custom. Completing Browning's vision of the 1911, Nighthawk Custom is not a mass production facility. Each custom touch is machined to an exacting standard, with the heart and soul of each craftsman that takes it through the process. Traditional or tactical, Nighthawk Custom delivers a weapon you can trust with your life. Custom to your specification or ready to ship with the reserve line. For their complete selection, go to NighthawkCustom.com. Nighthawk Custom. One gun, one gunsmith.
For 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is paying tribute to the everyday heroes on the front line during the coronavirus pandemic.
So during this difficult time, our citizens are rising to the challenge, just as generations of Americans have done before us.
The president also talking at the White House about developing a vaccine.
It's called Operation Warp Speed. That means big and it means fast. A massive scientific, industrial, and logistical endeavor, unlike anything our country has seen since the Manhattan Project.
The House is inching closer to a vote on a $3 trillion stimulus bill, but based on today's debate, the bill will likely pass on a party-line vote, but stands little chance of being taken up by the Republican-controlled Senate. Your final numbers on Wall Street, the Dow gaining 60 points to finish at 23,685. You're listening to USA Radio News. A new poll is out regarding social distancing. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
A new poll finds fewer Americans practicing social distancing. The Gallup survey says 58% of people surveyed say they're completely or mostly isolating themselves. That's down from 68% just a few weeks ago.
The poll also finds that fewer people, 73%, are choosing to stay home as much as possible, while a rising number of people, 27%, are starting to lead their normal lives. Wisconsin is opening for business slowly after the state Supreme Court struck down Democratic Governor Tony Evers' stay-at-home order. Governor Evers not happy with the ruling.
Just because Republicans said it can be a free-for-all, that doesn't mean we have to throw that good judgment out the window.
The governor has repeatedly refused to work with the GOP regarding a plan. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Lock and load. And we are speaking with Dean Weingarten, writer, activist, instructor. Let's talk ghost guns, shall we?
Yes.
Now, first thing first, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. How prevalent are people using 3D printed guns nowadays? Because I don't know of any increase in the any uptick in the technology or the material. Which I think is the big problem is the material.
3D printed guns are primarily a hobbyist niche where some dedicated hobbyists with a lot of effort and a lot of ingenuity produce guns that are marginally effective compared to an ordinary factory produced gun. I mean, there are a few of them out there you put a lot of time and work and effort, they can be almost as good as the lower-end factory-produced gun. Those are hybrid designs, I call them, ones that use 3D-printed parts and machined steel parts that you can mostly buy with very minimal work, so you don't have to put a lot of machining into it. So there are things like a revolver that's hand-indexed. It's more like a pepper box. I'm sure you know what a pepper box is, multi-barreled pistol. And you turn the cylinder by hand to line up the barrel with the next shot. The barrels are made of steel, but the frame and the turning mechanism and the trigger and all that are printed 3D printer. And, it can shoot 22 shorts, and it can shoot six of them, not quite as fast as you could shoot a single-action revolver. Well, that's not a really particularly, super dangerous firearm every firearm is dangerous. And those are for hobbyists who are willing to take a lot of time and effort to put into it. They're almost never used in crime. They just aren't. Now, if you just want to talk about homemade guns are actually used in crime a fair amount. And they have been for a very long time. Because it's just not that hard to make a gun. And if you have a hard time buying or stealing a gun, you can make your own, or you can find somebody with some ingenuity and a few simple tools who's willing to make one for you for a couple hundred dollars. There was a case, I think it was in Ohio, but don't hold me to that, where some young man with, I think he was like 17 or 16, and he had some ingenuity, and he got a hold of the, I think he got a hold of the Army manual for how to make improvised weapons. It's online if you want to look for it. And he basically followed that design pattern and was making single-shot pistols out of commonly available hardware and selling them for $200 a piece. Well, that was a pretty going operation for a high school kid. So, but it has nothing to do with 3D printing, and that type of stuff has been going on for decades. Americans have always had homemade guns, and if you go to parts of the world where guns are hard to get legally, you find lots of homemade or small shop made guns. Go to Pakistan, go to the Philippines. Even in Israel, they have a big problem with homemade submachine guns. You had small shop-made submachine guns in Canada and Australia after they have passed their more restrictive gun laws. In the U.S., you don't have as many because we have the Second Amendment, and we have over 450 million factory-made guns in the United States. So homemade guns are not as much of a problem. But 30 years ago, I think it was more than that, 40 years ago, some D.C. police chief claimed that 20% of all the guns they confiscated in the District of Columbia, where they don't have a gun shop, by the way. It's very hard to get guns in the District of Columbia. Legally, it is very hard. 40 years ago, the police chief there said 20% of the guns they confiscated were homemade. So there's lots of homemade guns out there, but it's nothing new, and it really has nothing to do with this whole concept of ghost guns. It's just another propaganda term made up by those who want us disarmed.
And well, do we have any data on how many people get out there and go, hey, look here at Brownells, if we get an 80%, because this is the thing they want to do, with 80% or less than 80% lowers, right, where you have to have some machining knowledge. They're calling that this is the thing they want to regulate, because you've already got to do a background check if it's serialized.
Right. So they're saying that, yes, you're right. That's what they are calling a ghost gun. And as far as I can tell, I've heard of 3 crimes that have been committed with them. I know a couple of them were, one was a nasty situation out in California. Where a guy attempted a school shooting. I think he killed 3 people before he was shot.
That was the guy that was walking around?
Yeah, and he drove to a school.
Right. It was college, wasn't it? Was it a college?
The one I'm thinking about, I think it was a high school, and he drove there, but he tried to crash his truck in, but it didn't work, and he had been forbidden from buying firearms, so he'd made his own.
Okay.
And he used at least one 80% receiver. And then there was at least one other case. But there's one in Texas, too, where somebody built one for the guy. But this is silly. It's trying to legislate with just a couple of examples of a bad outcome. You're trying to change the whole society based on a couple of little examples. I'll bet that if we look hard, we can find cases where people use guns like these to defend themselves. But, of course, they don't make the news because they don't fit the narrative. This whole idea that the ability to the requirement to have a serial number on a gun somehow makes crime less likely is bunk. There is no data to indicate that putting serial numbers on guns reduces crime one iota. And the reason is, as soon as a criminal steals a gun, that whole tracing goes out the window. The chain of tracing has been broken.
Don't they typically grind down the serial number and they basically become a ghost gun at that point?
Right. That happens pretty often. And it really doesn't matter much because once the gun is stolen and then sold to another, traded to another criminal somewhere, you traced it to the last person maybe who legally purchased the gun in commercial channel. That tells you almost nothing. all the trace data that is done in the United States is used to solve almost zero crime. There's just no use for it. It's the only purpose of the whole tracing system that I can discern is that it's a setup for registration.
Right.
And I think that was its purpose. But in terms of actually preventing any crime or stopping any crime, it doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. And so what you have now is this other false narrative where they say, look, all these guns, people are making them. They don't have any serial number. That's really bad. So that's going to make crime worse. No, because having a serial number never helps stop crime. It's absolutely insane what they're attempting to pull off. And if you listen to what they say, well, it's an untraceable gun. That's what they call it, a ghost gun. Well, most guns in the United States are untraceable. Because once they're sold at the first retail level, there's no requirement for registration. And when Joe decides he doesn't want that gun anymore because he's 80-some years old and he sells it to somebody else from a newspaper ad, or it gets stolen, and which happens to maybe, you know, a tenth of a percent of guns in a year.
Let me get you to hold up. Let me get you to hold up right there. We're going into the break, and we'll be right back with my guest, Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
Last day of the rest of my life, I wish I would have known, because I didn't kiss my mama goodbye. I didn't tell her that I loved her, how much I cared. I thank my pops for all the talks and all the wisdom he shared.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers.
You're not a live underground gopher.
You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten currently, and as we get ready to head out into the sunset, we were talking about ghost guns. Would you like to, I mean...
Yeah, let me make another point.
Yes.
There's probably, first off, most of the firearms in the U.S. are not traceable. The idea that most guns are traceable is nonsense. Once it goes past the first commercial sale, it basically becomes non-traceable. ATF says that they have something called the time to trace, or time to crime. And it's usually at least 7 years from the time that a gun is first sold before it ever turns up in a crime. And in that period, it's passed through a couple of hands. And they can't. They have no idea, unless they catch the person at the crime scene, who committed the crime with it. And the tracing does not help. In addition, most people don't know that there's probably 10 million firearms out there that legally do not have a serial number. Shotguns and .22 rifles made before 1968 and pistols made before, I think it was 1934, were not required to have serial numbers. It wasn't the law. Now, some of them did, but a lot didn't. I have a couple of guns in my possession that have no serial numbers, and that's the way they were made from the factory, and they are still perfectly legal that way.
Do you have to have any sort of documentation with that?
No, you don't. It's well known. If you look in the federal code and you talk about tracing guns and serial numbers, well, they say, you know, check to see if the gun ever was required to have a serial number. And there's a lot of them that weren't. So there's just no point to it. Plus, of course, you have all these homemade guns. Now, because we have such good factory guns, relatively not that hard to get in the United States, there aren't that many homemade guns, of which ghost guns are one subgenre.
Right.
But lots of people make their own guns, and it's not that hard, and you're not required to have a serial number on them. It's just a big lie that somehow having a serial number on a gun reduces crime. It doesn't. It's just part of this assumption that they try to sell you without ever actually stating it, that somehow things will be better if everyone needs government permission to own a gun and the government knows where every legal gun is.
Isn't it sort of a... I mean, the thing they push out there is if we had serial numbers and if we had a registry, if a gun is used in a crime, we'll be able to track down the killer's address just because of that. That's what it boils down to, right? They're saying this would be a crime fighting.
People assume that's the case, but it just doesn't work.
Right.
Canada had registration of pistols. I think it was started back in the 30s, and I know the data went up through the 2015, so that's 80 years. They had 80 years of registration data. When the RCMP was asked about it, they could come up with one crime that they thought might have been solved because of a registered gun. Now, think of that. 80 years of millions of guns being registered, and they might have been able to solve one crime. Think if you'd put that money into more detectives or more police officers, I think you'd have solved a lot more crimes. It's just ludicrous. The state of Michigan was very similar. They had registered pistols, required pistols to be registered for, I think it was a very similar amount of time, 75 years or so, and they found one crime that they thought had been helped to be solved because they had this registry of pistols in that time. It's just insane. We registered fully automatic guns in the United States since about 1934, and I believe that in the next 60 or 70 years, because we haven't kept up on all the data, there was one murder committed with a registered machine gun, and that machine gun was registered to a police officer.
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't work. Criminals are not so stupid as to commit a murder with a gun registered with them and then to conveniently leave the gun at the scene of the crime so it can be traced back to them. It just doesn't happen. And it's not that hard to get guns that are outside the system, even if you have to make them yourselves or pay somebody to make them for you. There is no logic in it. There's no sense to it. There's no, if you ask them, well, why do we have to make these illegal? Because it's easy for criminals to get them because then they can't be traced. Well, are most crime guns traced to criminals now? And you get crickets. Because no, they aren't. Because most guns in the U.S. are not traceable. And there's 450 million of them. People think otherwise because they've been indoctrinated by TV shows and movies, and especially if you live in New York, where, like New York City, where all guns are supposed to be registered by the police, people just assume that when you buy a gun or own a gun, that it is somehow indelibly registered to you, and if it's used in a crime somewhere, it's going to be tracked back to you, and you are going to have that crime pinned on you, and it's just a bunch of bunk. It doesn't happen, it doesn't work, and it never has.
How many unregistered guns do you think are in the hands of people that are otherwise law-abiding in New York City? Would you think there's any number?
Oh, that's tough to say. That's really tough because people don't talk about it.
Sure.
But I would say it's pretty high. I wouldn't doubt 500,000 or 1,000,000. There are a lot of people who obtain guns on the sly without all the permits in New York City, and most of them are mostly law-abiding. But because the barriers that have been put in place to prevent gun ownership in New York City are so draconian, most people who think they really need a gun do it illegally, even if they're otherwise law-abiding.
Well, I mean,
the barriers are so incredible.
It's pretty expensive to go through the process, isn't it?
Oh, it is. You basically have to hire a lawyer and submit numerous documents. And if there's one I that's not dotted or a T not crossed in all the documents, they can cancel them. And then you have to start all over again and pay all over again to have them made up again.
Yep.
It is the most egregious violation of constitutional rights, I think, that currently exists in our legal system.
Do they still have expediters in New York City?
Oh, yes, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
And we had a scandal recently where
an
expediter, you know, I think you paid him $20,000 and he'd get you a carry permit or a permit to have a pistol. That he was recently prosecuted. A very unusual circumstance. I wonder who he got angry at him. But that was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah, I remember it. I remember hearing about it.
This is what happens when you have a system that runs on corruption.
Yeah.
And corruption is endemic in New York City, and it has been as far as I can remember. The whole Tammany gang was a New York City phenomenon. That's how we got gun control started in New York City with the Sullivan Law.
Right.
Big Tim Sullivan was a big-time criminal, a organized crime boss, who got himself elected to the state legislature. His boys who went around collecting extortion money had complained to him that they weren't able to do their jobs because some people were shooting back. So his answer was to go to the legislature and make it illegal for anybody who didn't have a pistol permit issued by the government of the city of New York to have a pistol. He didn't like his enforcers being shot at. And that's all very well documented.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question but that is the history of what happened. Now, they try to pretty it up a little bit by saying, well, he was worried that the poor immigrants were going to get shot, and he didn't want these people to be shot because, you know, it was bad. So, and then they tell you that a lot of the people in the crimes were his enforcers that would go up and down the voting lines in New York and make sure that everybody in the line was voting the way they were told.
Well, we're about to run out of time. So will you be joining me on Wednesday next week?
That's my intention. I sure hope to.
There you go. You can find Dean's stuff at ammoland.com. Thank you very much for joining me this evening, sir.
It's always a pleasure, Bill.
And that concludes the first week with the new time slot. Very happy to be here. And be back again on Monday. Between now and then, remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expansive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.